We are back. Yes, you heard me right. You can believe your eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pushers of agendas all across the globe, your favorite podcast is back, and we're back with a vengeance. Yes, the Biased Football Podcast. The remontada is underway. So pop in your headphones and relax with a beverage of choice and enjoy the show.
Welcome back to the Biased Football Podcast, the home of agendas, vendettas, and everything in between. It's been a minute. Been more than a minute, but we're back now. I'm joined by Hakim, Daniel, and Kelechi. How you guys doing, man?
Yeah, well, good, man. But I mean, it's 2023. Are we still doing agendas? I thought guys would have grown up.
Facts.
Guys, see the guys that are now talking about good.
I love how it's so convenient that Arsenal are good again. So everyone's like, oh, well, let's be mature, you know.
Is your team top of the league?
That's what I was telling Kelechi, man. It's a shame that our return now coincides with Arsenal's rise to the top, man. But
when you're at the top, you can't be behaving the way you should behave.
Exactly.
Composure, innit?
I see the guys are now talking about the
position.
Anyhow, let's just start with Arsenal. Somehow, some way, they find themselves at the top of the Premier League. How many games played? Is it like 29? Who?
I'm not sure. 30, lad. We have 10 games left.
What kind of math are you doing, guy?
You said 10?
Wait. Oh, my God.
We play 40 game seasons.
Okay. No, okay.
You see?
See, that's how bad I love Arsenal. Like, I want them to
play.
Brother.
Anyways, but yeah, like, how do you guys feel, like, in terms of where you guys thought you would be going into the season and where you are now? Like, what's the mindset? You know, did any of you feel that this was your season? Are you surprised? Are you just enjoying the ride? Hakim, let's start with you.
I mean, it's been a long journey, because I remember in 2020 when I was in the trenches fighting the Arteta wars, and boys were raining insults on me every single day. We've had some boys here that were part of the people raining insults on me. I said, just shut my boy. You know what you're doing. But anyway, I think the turning point for me was January 2022. Actually, was it December 2021? But when we played City, I think when we played City on New Year's Day, might have been, and, like, we outplayed those guys, and then the Sheikh Mansour sent some money to the VAR, and they sent off Gabriel, and we ended up losing the match. But, like, for 15 minutes, we outplayed them. I'm like, this team is actually playing footy. Like, last season, like, towards the second half of last season, like, I'd watch Arsenal games, and I'd know what to expect. Like, I could actually see our patterns of play. I could see what we're trying to do. Like, I couldn't say that in 2020, to be honest. But, like, when I say, okay, like, we have this style, like, honestly, coming to this season, in my head, I was like, Arsenal is coming third. Like, I thought we were going to come third. But obviously, they're exceeding everyone's expectations. And we're just enjoying the ride, man.
Kelechi, how about you?
Firstly, I'd like to apologize to Arteta. I was part of the Arteta Out Brigade, and I hated him, I'm not gonna lie. And just looking at how much we've changed as a team, it's incredible. Like, I can't really say anything other than just look at Saka and Martinelli. Like, they're two players that they've come into the fold, and he's made, like, their performances, like, he's just tripled that. Like, he's actually an amazing manager. And just seeing the football we play the best football in the country. Not even in the country, in the world. maybe Napoli, but, like, nah, I back us against them. That's how good we are. That's all I can say.
You haven't seen the ball that Oka United are tapping. That's why you're talking.
Oh, brother.
Wonderful story, man. Arsenal, best. So, are you saying you guys are the best club side in the world? Is that what
most entertaining for sure?
No, I mean we have to quantify it. Like, being entertaining is all well and good. Are Arsenal the best team in the world? Like, is it a yes or no question?
Well, we can't really say that because they're not competing in the Champions League yet, but they're the best in the Premier League and they play the most entertaining football in the world.
I don't hear that Champions League stuff. Is it beating Club Brugge or Dynamo Zagreb 5-0 that to show that? Hey, champs is overrated, man.
Now it's overrated. It comes like but, no one is overrated. Okay.
Yeah, not even that, though. We're not... Okay, for example, we say that, but what did Arsenal do in Europa, to be fair? Like, I feel like we had bad performances in Europa. So, but then we didn't really care about it that much, so...
Okay, well... to the victor, go the spoils. To you guys, who has been Arsenal's player of the season so far?
I'll start. I think I mean, to be fair, you can debate because a lot of guys have really shocked me. Like Xhaka, for example, man has been on something else. But like, I think undoubtedly you have to say Saka. Like, I think he has just taken his game to another level. Like, I didn't watch the England game. I just saw the highlights. But that goal that he scored, I was like, when did this guy unlock this DLC? Like, he's actually over for the league if he can do that now. Because his only one weakness was always his shooting, like his finishing. It was always poor. And if guy has unlocked it, then, Owarida, he's over for the league.
Rachel, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree, but I'm very shocked that it's Hakim that is saying this, you know. I remember Hakim was a firm Saka hater. Whenever he would score, he would always say, "Shit guy finally scores." every single time. So it's crazy to see this like U-turn. But yeah, definitely Saka. Me, I've always been a firm believer in Saka. He's an unreal footballer, like very unreal. I even feel like for how much goals he scores, right? I still see him as like a creative winger, and he's strong, he's fast, he's everything. Like he's the best right winger in the world. He's the best winger in the world.
Yeah, you know? I was going to touch on that. You know, open Twitter today. You know, I literally woke up, I wipe my eyes, they're seeing Saka top 10 players in the world.
Well, Chris, if you give us your top 10.
No, I'm it's your platform right now. I'm just asking questions.
He's asking the questions, though.
Wait, in my defense, regarding Saka, I was only hard on him because I believed he could do better. I believe his talent, so I was hard on him.
Tough love angle. Come on, man. Let's not be
harsh. Is Saka a top 10 player in the world as you speak?
In the world, man.
Yes, I genuinely think he is.
Like, let's talk about wingers. Like, it's very hard to like start comparing wingers with midfielders with center back. Let's just say like top wingers. Are we saying top 5 wingers in the world?
How many wingers are there these days?
How many? Yeah, bro. Because apart from Saka and Vinny, and like maybe I'm not gonna try and pronounce that brother's name, but
Maraskelia.
You know who I'm talking about? Yeah.
It's pronounced Kwaraskelia.
Yeah, like the state.
To be honest, I think it's probably top 5. If you're saying wingers in the world, I mean,
yeah, it's top 5. Easy.
Based on what he's done this season.
Is he top 3?
Yeah, I think so.
Probably. If you're saying this.
Are we classifying Mbappe as a winger?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Your mind talking the Mbappe smoke.
Yes.
Like, if we're not calling Mbappe, then I'll say top 3.
What you mean if we're not calling Mbappe? We are calling Mbappe.
Bro, that fake 9.
It's a fake 9. Okay, now. Oh, yeah. I think it was Arsenal Fan TV. I'm actually not sure, but I think it was an IG that I saw the clip. So I'll pose it to the Arsenal fans again. Final question on Arsenal.
Okay.
If you're given the scenario, Arsenal win the league, but Saka leaves in summer, or you keep Saka, but you don't win the league, what do you do?
Bro, what kind of pick your poison is this?
Yeah, I keep the league, man. I'd rather have Saka.
Yes. Whoa. Same. I agree. Because Saka will win us another title.
Yeah, the vibes.
Incroyable.
Wait. Sorry. You said Saka will win you another title.
yes.
That is, yes. You're assuming that like this one's already won.
Bro, it's wrapped up. It's wrapped up, and I say that with so much confidence.
Okay.
Fair enough.
I love that it's being recorded, you know.
I think Saka is a top talent, yeah. Me personally, I mean, he and Odegaard probably the two after players that I actually like, so I can't knock any. What do you mean by wow? Like, which Arsenal player is worthy of anything?
Hey, man, I just said wow.
Yeah, I'm just asking. Like, it sounded as if
are we going to discuss number five?
No.
Let's be away from those treacherous waters and move on to your North London rivals. They just parted ways, apparently by mutual consent, with Antonio Conte. So, Daniel, like, what do you think about Conte, man? I think it was at Spurs for two seasons or a season and a half? I'm not even sure, but another Spurs manager lives in disgrace. Is it that Spurs are just a club that people go to, you know, don't have much success and they have to leave with their tail between their legs? So, what are your thoughts on
Conte? I think it's two things. First of all, like, Spurs on your resume is already like a surefire way to stain your white. Like,
wow.
Chiellini said it, man. It's in the history of the Tottenham. Like, those guys are just not an ambitious franchise. Like, they don't invest, and it's crazy because you can't even do business with them in terms of like their players. Like, it's so difficult, and yet, you know, they get in, the infrastructure, everything's like set up, new stadium and all that, but like they just refuse to progress where like it matters, which is like investing in players and mentality. Like, that's on the club. But Conte himself, I feel like he's a coach who he struggles with like any slight indication of adversity. Like, he tends to like implode and put a lot of pressure. Like, he lacks patience. He's a win now manager. So like, whenever he comes in his first season, if his job is to, you know, steady the ship, or if it's to, you know, or deliver a title, you know, he can do that. He's done it in his previous clubs. But like, as soon as it's time for, you know, the next phase, like, it seems like he always wants so much more, like, in so little time. So he ends up clashing with the owners, and you know, that's what's going on here. But the fact that it's Spurs is just hilarious, because, man, you know, it's just Spurs, man. So it'll be interesting to see how they move forward. But this was coming.
I don't know. I feel like that's such an easy cop out for Conte. Conte has washed himself. Like, come on, we saw the football. Wait, okay. Let's even start with how much money he was actually given. Conte spent $235 million on like players, like. It's not like he wasn't. I don't really buy into this idea that he wasn't backed. I think he was personally. And I look at the football they were playing. Like, you can't have like that caliber of like attackers, like Kane, Son, even Richarlison. I know he's not been good this season, but like, brought him in for a reason. He starts for Brazil for a reason. Like, he's not a fake player by any means, but look at the ball they were playing. Like, you can't have a team, right? You can't have that type of team, and you're sitting back like all the time. Like, this, I feel like Simeone was not as bad as this, quite frankly. Like, this, the ball we were seeing on display, I don't know. I just feel like that was the level.
That's
so I don't know. I feel like, yeah, as much as Spurs, yeah, you can say they're not ambitious and like they play hard to get, like in the transfer market, like with Kane and all, like all of the quality players they have. But I do feel like Conte himself didn't really help matters. And you just don't talk that way about your employers. That's just the truth.
Fox, I have a question for you, though. Could you say that Conte was doing what he could with the players he had? Because we talk about like Spurs playing style, like, if you want, like, if they were to change their playing style considering the players they have now.
Yeah.
Like, how do you see it changing? So that's why I'm saying, like, in it's sort of like, you know, I feel like it's 50-50. Like,
yeah,
for sure, the part about, you know, what he said about the club and stuff in the media. But, man, like, that squad is actually crap.
Yeah. But isn't that also on... to be fair, I don't know how the recruitment works, I suppose. But
yeah,
surely he... Doesn't he have a say in it as well? Like, has Conte ever been known for, like, his talent ID, for example?
No, he's been known for his coaching. If you look at the players that he's done stuff with, like, yeah, come on, like, bro, he won the league with, was it Victor Moses? And, you know, like, those caliber of players.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, like, I feel, and to be fair to Conte, he has been complaining in the past. He has been complaining about the quality of players he's had at Spurs and the lack of spending. He has been complaining about it in the past. So to say that that's an easy cop-out, like, nah, I feel like, yeah, it has been coming, but, man, like, it's not to say he hasn't made mention of it before.
Fair enough. So, okay, what percentage would you say is Conte's fault in all of this?
Man, I'd say like 40, man.
Yeah, okay. I would have said the same thing.
Stretching it like 40. Yeah, yeah,
I would have said the same thing. And for me, that's good enough to get sacked, quite frankly.
For them to end you.
I mean, they have to save themselves, to be fair.
Fair enough. Who do you guys think should be the next Spurs manager?
Oof. Do you mean if I hate them or if I want them to do well?
Who should Spurs fans want to be their new manager?
I mean, Nagelsmann, potentially. I feel like he's one of the few out there in the market. Or maybe Poch if they want to, like, go back to their ex. But
I think they should bring back Poch, man.
Really?
They ended him for no reason, thinking that, that the grass was greener, you know, on the other side. And now, how many years, you know, after, they are both out in the cold. Man, Poch should go home, man.
Yeah. Match made in heaven.
Wow. Or hell, some may say.
Knowing Spurs, I see them going back for someone like maybe Nuno.
Oh, no.
Nuno.
No.
I mean, if they actually try that, then they're actually addicted to mediocrity. But speaking of sacked managers, Julian Nagelsmann himself was let go at Bayern. I think it was a shock to all of us. I don't know if maybe someone who follows the Bundesliga maybe saw the writing on the wall. But Hakim, what do you think about Bayern opting to bring in Tuchel, presumably with the intention of pushing for the Champions League?
Man, so first of all, I'll talk about that Nagelsmann sacking. And from a football point of view, it makes zero sense. Like, it makes so little sense that I think there's something else going on here. Like, it's possible that Nagelsmann might have slept with one of the CEO's wives.
Wow.
There must be something that went on for them to sack Nagelsmann. Because it made zero. Like, they literally played their... In the next 2 weeks, they played their two most important games of the season. Like, why would you replace a manager at that time? Like, at least give him... Let him play City. Let him play Dortmund. And, like, if you're going to sack him, then you can sack him. But, like, this makes zero sense. And it's not even like he was performing that bad. Like, if you look at their underlying metrics, like, they were outperforming. Like, they're not where they should be in the league. But it's just out of luck, I think. Like, they've just been very unlucky. And Dortmund have been very lucky. So, I think over the season, he would have still won the league anyway. And the Champions League is always a coin toss. Like, the only people that have birthright to Champions League are Madrid. Like, with any other team, it's a coin toss. But regarding Tuchel, I think he's the best they could have gotten on the market at the moment. So, like, good on them for moving quickly to get him. He's the guy that has Pep's antidote. So, in champs, like, I can easily see Bayern going through and beating City. And, like, Tuchel, I mean, actually, you know, Tuchel is literally, like, Nagelsmann's teacher slash mentor. Like, he taught Nagelsmann. So... it makes a lot of sense. I think he'll fit in well at Bayern. I just feel bad for Nagelsmann because I don't think he should have lost his job. But yeah.
I mean, me personally, I think it was a short-sighted move by Bayern. I mean, obviously, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So if it was something crazy or like a scandal that is going to come out, fair enough. But if it's not, and it's just that they felt, oh, you know, let's maximize our chances for Champions League, or this guy is not doing well enough. Like, in a way, I think it exposes the mentality of Bayern. Like, fair enough, man. You guys have won the league 10 years in a row. And then, like, obviously, the other teams aren't going to be happy just to sit back and watch you guys slap them up every year. So for the first time in how many years that a sustained challenge is, you know, is coming along. You got, like, they're 1 point off the top. It's not as if these guys are, you know, 10 points away or something and your season is going to hell. And then you just end the Nagelsmann guy. For me, it seemed a bit harsh. And then also, I think there's a good... I don't think they're going to win champs. Like, first of all, like, there's football karma, man. Like, when you do things the wrong way, man. It, like, I'm being serious. Like, okay, for example, like, Obi, who you guys know, the guy said it now, when Dembouz left Dortmund to go to Barca, the guy didn't do it in a pure way, man. And some may say, man, that's all. No, like, this is not even a joke. Like, it's just, some may say that, yeah, man, like, that's why, you know, injuries every year. Like, even, I mean, there are, you know, there are some who claim Neymar and Barcelona, dodgy dealings, you know, Neymar injured every year at, like, the worst possible time. Like, when you do things that, you know, in a, like, a messed up manner, man, like, things don't... No, I'm almost sure that Bayern...
This is fact, Shaka, like, Chris is spitting facts.
I'm almost sure that Bayern are going to win champs, man. Like,
crazy conspiracy theory.
So, I'm just saying, like, it's like, you do things in a messed up way, and the thing, you know, it just
comes back to bite you.
Yeah, man. So, best of luck to them, man. Like, if this guy wins Bundesliga title, like, it's nothing special. Like, I believe that Bayern would have still won it. So, I think they've scored, like, is it 101 crazy amount of goals this
102,
season.
I think.
Yeah, man, it's a crazy amount. Like, and they've lost 3 games all season. And, like, that's cause for sacking. So,
they sacked that ball for them,
man. And also, like, I know for a fact he's not going to play ball. That was as nice as the other Nagelsmann guy. So, anything that they want to see, sure. Best to them.
Did you see that part of the in the article, how they were basically comparing his behavior or his just how he carried himself around the training ground? They said it was kind of like too friendly. Like he came in on, like, you know, like he'd go to his training on a skateboard, like, you know, he'd just be chilling, and, you know,
they wanted the routine herd,
yeah,
man.
That
clubs are focused on the wrong things, man.
But that's interesting, knowing, you know, the lengths that they went to like break his contract to get him in the first place.
Boomers.
So
that's crazy. Anyways, we now move on to Manchester United. I think we're third in the league. I'm not even sure. But ETH, first season, I think it would have gone as well as any could have predicted. 1-1 trophy, third in the league, even though we've been pulled back into the top four race. Advanced in Europa, FA Cup semis, I believe. Diaku, how do you feel about ETH first season? Like, is this what you expected? Has he over-delivered? Has he under-delivered? How do you feel about Ten Hag?
He's a magician. That's all I'll say. Because the fact that even, you know, like, this is what he's able to do with, you know, with that squad. It's a good thing. It's a good thing, man. We're back to being in, like, all these discussions of, like, oh, whose player is better than, you know, and the other on like a global scale, like the way guys are talking about, like, Rashford, Saka, you know, Kyra, like all these other, you know, wingers and stuff. So, like, props to him. I'm interested to see, like, what he does with further backing and in the transfer window. And yeah, man, he's doing big things. So shout out to ETH, man.
Hakim, as a rival fan, like, what are your thoughts on ETH? Like, or what did you think when you heard that we had appointed him? Like, do you think that he's actually made big improvements? Is it all a false image? Like, how do you view ETH?
Yeah, no. I'm actually a very big fan of Ten Hag. I remember when United appointed him, I wasn't very happy about it. I wanted them to appoint Pochettino. But yeah, wow. They got ETH. But yeah, like, I'm a very big fan of him. I like his style of play. Like, I see what he's trying to do. And I definitely think he has overachieved this season in terms of where United are. It's the only slight issue I have with his football is that there's still a little too much chaos. There's not enough control there. So a lot of his matches turn into basketball games where it's just back and forth. So when United gets more, like, if they get another, if they get two more good CMs, they'll be able to control games better. So, like, I don't think it's an issue that he'll be able to fix by next season. But my only other slight issue with him is his talent ID. And I say that because... Very dodgy.
Bro, I agree with you on that.
I think, like, that's that Anthony P, man. Like that's a £30 million winger, not a £100 million. Like, I don't know if maybe there was a deal with Ajax that they overpay on purpose as part of his contract termination or what. But, like, yeah, like, that's Anthony Dewan. Even, what's his name? Who was the other guy that he got? I mean, like, Casemiro. I like Casemiro. Malacia, I don't think he'll make it to United, honestly.
Wow, that's harsh.
No, seriously, I think he'll be replaced eventually because, first of all, he's not going to displace Luke Shaw. And secondly, I think he'll just get frustrated with game time. He'll get it and he'll eventually move on United, get someone else. But it's no biggie. They spent like, what, 12, 15 million on him. So it's not that big of a deal. And what did they buy? Lisandro Martinez. I really, really like Lisandro Martinez. But I think the issue is going to be next season when, like, right now, United play the second lowest defensive line in the league. Next season, when Erik ten Hag wants to introduce more control to his game and he needs to push his defenders high up the pitch, Martinez will struggle because he's not very good at running back. He just doesn't have that running power. He doesn't have that pace. So, like in a settled block, he's top. And, like, his passing, I think in terms of passing and ball playing, he's probably the best centre-back in the world. But, is that a hot take? I don't get...
Oof, is he better than Laporte?
He's good with his deliveries. Nah, he's
Laporte.
I genuinely think he's the best.
That's a good shout.
Just because, like, apart from, like, his passing, like, his ability, also because of his size, his turning radius and his ability to escape pressure, like, his press resistance is at the level of a midfielder. So, like, that also gives him an edge in his ball playing, I think.
And that's why he's been using DM, you know.
Yeah, I imagine so. So, yeah, I think they might struggle with a higher line, but I'm interested to see how Ten Hag will deal with that next season. So, yeah, like, I'm really enjoying with United, and I mean, obviously, I don't wish them success, but I enjoy watching it.
Kelechi, how about you? Like, thoughts on Ten Hag?
Honestly, he was the one I wanted instead of Arteta. And I feel like... For ETH, right? Like, his win percentage alone just shows how good he's been this season. I think he has, 71? Like, his win percentage. Like, that's insane. Like, across the whole season. And you guys have a trophy. You're, you know, battling for first place in the league.
Hey, stop that.
Like, what's not to like?
Stop that.
What's
title contenders?
Contenders, literally. Like, own it. We're playing against the best player in the world in Rashford.
Oh,
like,
my God.
How do we call the best manager in the world in ETH? Like, what's not to like?
Oh, my goodness. Set up what we cannot compete.
My thoughts on ETH, like, to be honest, I thought that this season we'll be playing for, like, you know, fifth, fourth, maybe, like, just... I'd already checked out from this season. I can't lie. I was more interested in summer because I didn't think our squad was going to be able to do anything significant this season. I mean, I couldn't have foreseen Klopp going to hell with Liverpool. I couldn't have probably foreseen Chelsea being so bad. But yeah, like, he's definitely impressed me.
I hope Chelsea's on the agenda for tonight because I want to talk about that club.
Of course you do.
Yeah, but I didn't, like, the way the season has gone, I've definitely been impressed. Like, I do have some issues with him. Just the talent ID thing, I think, is going to make itself apparent this summer, because the issue is that it's not even so much that ETH's talent ID, because in my opinion, like, that's not meant to be his job, to be very honest. Like, ETH, in my opinion, he shouldn't even really be saying, I want to. And so maybe, like, they can run things by him and be like, what do you think about this player? But I don't, I that was not his job, to my knowledge. And now United is like, he's having more responsibility than he's used to. Because the thing is, and this is what I've been saying about United fans, like, for me, and we should enjoy the season, but then guys should remember that this season could have turned out very differently. Darwin Nunez,
sure.
Remember him? We wanted him. We didn't get him. Who else? Rabiot. Remember him? We wanted him. Didn't get him. Arnautovic. Remember him? We want. So, like, this season could have been very different. Like, even the saddle that we got is because they didn't budge on Timber, and then LVG went to go and corrupt his brain and tell him that guy shouldn't come to United. And then, so yeah, like, that's what we wanted, not Lisandro. Like, we wanted Timber. So this window could have gone differently, and then our season would look way different if that was our squad. Anthony,
was that Nunez slander?
Hey man, I'm just saying that.
Was that Nunez slander?
I'm not saying anything, but that we could have gotten him. That's what I have to say. So this summer, I don't know our target, quite frankly. We shouldn't waste time with Frankie again. Like, he's made it clear that he has no interest. So I don't know our targets this summer. But I mean, I think for me, what I would want out of this season, FA or Europa, if he can win any of them, fair enough. If not, man, let's just look to next season and try to build on that. But yeah, I mean, overall, definitely a positive season. Like, if I had to grade him, probably like an A-. So,
wow, yeah, sure.
An A-. After A minus A and A plus, so that's not harsh, man. Believe yourself. But yeah, while we look at the red side of Manchester, there are some people here who love the blue side. So wait, is it not the truth? Is it like some guy is a Pep disciple, acolyte, a worshipper, or whatever term you want, but that's Pep and Odom. So, Kelechi, let's start with you. Like, how would you grade Man City season? Do you buy into the fact that Haaland is maybe not the best fit at City? Like, or what are your thoughts on Pep? Like, do you think maybe his time is drawing to a close? Do you think that this season was just a one-off? Like, or what do you think about your Man season? And do you think that they're going to win champs? Because, once again, if Pep doesn't win champs, again, with a relatively weakened field,
Well, okay. So, I feel like on Man City season, right, I feel like people are blowing it out of proportion. I actually think they've been good. Like, it's actually been a good season. Not up to, like, their regular standard, right? But it's not been poor by any means. And I think why everyone's kind of, like, panicking is also because of where Arsenal are on the table. Like, if this was just, like, a typical, like, Liverpool versus City, like, title chase, like, it's not a big deal to anyone. But it's like, okay, it's like, where did these guys come from and why are they first? Like, why are we not first? And on the point that, like, Haaland makes them, like, a worse team, I don't agree with that at all. I think what we're looking at here is, like, you're talking about a striker, right, that is coming into the Prem, like, and playing here for the first time, and then you're talking about the City team, right? Over the years, right, they've prioritized, like, control, kind of recycling the ball, just one touch, and then you're telling them, okay, we're bringing, like, the ultimate transition player, right, into our system. Like, he's just not going to, like, fit straight away. And quite frankly, he has done well. Like, Haaland has done ridiculously well, for what it's worth. Like, he's probably going to break, like, the Premier League goal record. He has what? Does he not already have 40-plus goals this season? It all comes. Like that's ridiculous. Like no matter how you look at it, right? So if we're saying okay, this is like the version of Haaland that makes City worse. Imagine how good they both can be if like they're in sync eventually. And I think that's what's going to happen. Like maybe towards the end of the season or probably next season. So, and that's something I'm looking forward to. And for Champions League, the thing is, I can never say, with Champions League, it's hard to say, you know. It's hard to say just because when you have guys like Real Madrid that feel like it's their right and like they should chill.
I beat them last season.
Yeah, they should.
Taking their chances, that tie would have been dead and buried.
Yeah, but then, okay, how I see it is Pep coached a 4-0 against Real Madrid. But that didn't, it didn't pan out because, well, he's not the one on the pitch, right? So in that instance, right, why does Pep get more stick
than the players?
Than the players? No, wait. Than the players.
Yeah, that's the ultimate Pep acolyte.
Let's be honest, right? Like, in that game, right, what would you say Pep did wrong? I feel like that's the one tie, right? Like, I'm not saying Pep hasn't really messed up over the years, but in that particular tie, I feel like that was the one tie that I felt he got it right and his players just did not kind of...
Yeah, no, like, that part is fair, like, that, oh, Pep did a good job coaching. But the point is just that, like, somehow, some way, his team managed to crash out of a tie that they should have won and that they controlled rather convincingly for, like, large spells of, you know, of the tie. So, and when you look back, you know, maybe it's like a mentality thing. His team thinks that if we're champs, well, you know, we'll find a way to lose. So I'm not, all I'm saying is,
it's a Yaya Touré thing.
Don't tell me that Pep coached the 4-0, man. Like, they went to crash out. Hakim, as another Pep disciple, what are your thoughts on Man City, Haaland, champs, Pep's future at Man City?
Yeah, you know the beauty of it. Whoever wins the league this season, I'll be happy.
Oh, God.
So I eat a good amount of that. But anyway, I'm sorry. Just to, like...
No shame.
That does take notes because when I call these guys fake Arsenal fans now...
I didn't agree with him. Hakim.
I have no shame.
Hakim, shame.
You literally agreed. Oh my days. Anyway, yeah, Hakim, go on.
No, but like first of all, I'll just like continue talking about the champ stuff. So that game against Madrid last season, well, the second leg especially, like I saw something that I'd never seen before. So like normally when City crash out of champs, like the major reason is either like, oh, they're complacent or like they're wasting chances or Pep was overthinking. But against Madrid, in the second leg, the last 30 minutes of that game, like for the first time in ever, I saw City playing with fear. Like the players looked terrified and like, I don't think I'd seen that before. And I think just like all the prior crashing out, it must have just been weighing on their mind. Because like, it was so uncharacteristic. Like defenders were just doing, guys were slipping over themselves. Like Walker had like half a hamstring or something. Like, guys are just looking terrified. And yeah, I think like last season was caused mainly because of fear. But I think City's also, like, I fully agree with Odom because I don't understand why guys are saying like City are having this horrible season. I don't think they're having a bad season at all. I think they've been pretty good this season. It's just that like they're not first and like they could still easily win the league. And I think the main issue that City have is, and I've been singing this song since last season, but they need monsters on the wings. They need like 1v1 monsters. Not all these, get out here with those Grealish and Mahrez rubbish. Like, they need guys who are devastating, who like strike fear in defenders' hearts. Like, yeah, if I'm facing up 1v1 with Grealish, like even myself, like, I'll be too scared. Like, I can take him. But if you see someone like Sané, Liao, these kind of wingers that...
Okay, if I feel they never replace Sané.
100%. So, like, that's why I say, like, City's problem is, like, is on the flanks because all their penetration comes from Haaland at the moment. And that's very easy to defend against. Like, if you know, okay, like, just block the center and drop and, like, let the tippy-tappy wingers be playing their 1-2s. Nothing is coming through. But if you have guys on the flanks that you're scared of, because, like, you can afford to go tight with them. Like, you can go tight with Mario, you can go tight with Grealish, because they cannot beat you for pace. But, like, you can't go tight with guys like Sané, Sterling, because, like, if you slip up an inch, like, there's no recovering. Once they are past you, they are past you, you're not catching them. So, like, next season, like, to address that, City need, like, some proper 1v1. Like, I think they should get, 100%, they should get Leao. Like, they need someone like that. But yeah, I don't think it's been a bad season for them, and they could still easily end up winning 3 trophies this season, and the story would be very different. But let's wait and see how the season unfolds.
Daniel, how about you? Like, how are you seeing Pep, man?
Man, Pep is in, I don't know. I feel like he's going to a point where, like, everything is just like clockwork for him. He doesn't think too much. Like, he's so laid back now. He's, you know, this whole man of coaching where he lets guys do their thing, and then he's like, oh, I want you to play this certain way, and then they don't like it, and he's like, oh, if you're not happy, you can go. Like, that Cancelo, the whole Cancelo thing was, like, that was wild, like, you know. And then how he's just been recently in press conferences is like, I don't know, it's almost like he doesn't care, like he doesn't have anything.
Yeah, he's in his trolling era.
Yeah, like, you know, I don't know. And he in a weird way, like, I feel like he's happy with where City are right now, because that presents him with more of a challenge. I don't know if that makes sense. But, like,
I mean,
I don't know.
You'll be happy when you're going to spend 200 million in summer.
Your club does the same, bro.
All I'm saying is, some say, not me, but some say that Pep hasn't won a champ since he left Messi. That's just what some guys say, Sha, but I'm not part of them. Some also say cash is the wind behind his sails. But once again, not me. So, anyway, in one word answer, am I still going to win champs this year? Yes or no? Kenichi.
No.
Sorry? What?
Okay, I say yes.
Daniel.
No.
Hakim.
If they beat Bayern, yes.
One word. Anyways, for me, no. I think deep down, everyone knows, but guys can continue to pretend, yeah. Let's move on to Stamford Bridge, also known as Bowley Bridge. Came in, splashed cash, and the results didn't change. I'll just start on this one. I'm not going to say too much, but time, like, ball is actually a crazy thing, because, like, a year ago, Graham Potter was like the hottest, you know, property in footy. Guys were saying that maybe he should be the next manager of you know, England. He went to Chelsea, and now his name is in the mud. Guys are saying he's horrible. Guys are calling for his head. Like, insults flying. Graham Potter can't coach. De Zerbi is better than him. Like, so for me, the whole thing is just crazy. Like, personally, I think, despite how bad it looks, he should get the preseason and next season to have this squad. And then if it's still horrible next season, then fair enough. But, like, I just think it's wild how his name has literally been raked through the coals after, you know, this spell. But, Hakim, how about you? Like, what are your thoughts on Potter, Chelsea, Bowley? And how good are Chelsea, actually? Like, are they close to their ceiling? Like, should we expect more from them?
So, I'll start with Potter, and I don't think Potter is a big team coach, because he reminds me of Emery, like the kind of coach that loves to, like, chop and change his tactics, and he's the kind of guy that he'll work really well at, like, a mid-table club, because, like, the players can respond to that, like, they say, okay, like, yeah, we're playing a big team, we need to change. But, like, when you're playing for Chelsea, like, as a player, if you're playing against, like, Brighton or something, and, like, a manager is telling you, oh, yeah, guys, like, yeah, Brighton, they're really good, we need to do, like, he's not Brighton. Why are we doing all these adjustments? And like, unless your play, unless like you are the full authority in charge, and Potter is not an authority figure in Chelsea, he's a yes man. Like, that's probably even why they hired him. Bully was fighting with Tuchel because Tuchel wasn't a yes man. So yeah, like, I think Potter is a decent coach. Like, I won't say like he's the top tier, but he's definitely a good enough coach. Just not at a like elite club, because I don't think his tactics scale to the elite level. And yes, I do think De Zerbi is a better manager than him. But in regards to Chelsea as an institution, Todd Boehly, first of all, oh my, he must go to prison.
Wow.
Investigations need to be carried out. Chelsea, they are doing things that should not be done.
You're not lying.
And they will come to light. In my lifetime, those things will come to light. Clearly capital. I hope they go under. I pray there's a recession that comes and they are hit very hard. Let them liquidate, because they are doing things to football that should not be done. Like, just think about it. It's not even like, okay, like, you spent £600 million. What's the point of the sport? Like, what are we doing here? Like, come on. Like, if a club is able to just go out and spend, like, it gets to a point that you just spend enough that you can't help but be successful. Like, I know, like, money doesn't guarantee success, but, like, at a certain degree, like, it just does. Like, there's no way this Chelsea project is going to fail if they keep spending these amounts of money. Like, okay, when I say fail, I mean, like, they will obviously get back to being a top four club. Like, I even imagine as soon as next season they'll be a top four club. But, like, I think we should just enjoy the bad times that they are going through right now, because, honestly, I don't think they'll last. I think they'll spend enough money that they'll get it right eventually. And if, like, Boehly actually grew some balls and gets a proper big team manager, then I think, like, Chelsea will be a force, because they have a very, very good squad. A squad that should not be where they are. Although, I must speak on the Ukrainian farmer, Mudryk is a player that I used to have. I literally had dreams about him. As per, like, I had. Let me just say in a no homo way, but I used to have dreams about him at Arsenal, man. And like that transfer devastated me. After that transfer, I didn't watch footy for like 2 weeks. I just disassociated. But thank God we got Trossard instead. He's doing better. But yeah, like I was saying, in regards to Chelsea and their players, like, they just have too many good players that it will work. And even what they are doing, like, with youth, they're literally playing Football Manager. Like, they are buying all the best young players in the world. Like surely, like, two or three of those guys would actually become like top 10 players in the world, like, at some point. Because they are just, every single young player that comes with, they just buy him. And, like, if they continue with that strategy, man, we're in trouble. But, like I said, let's just enjoy the bad times.
Daniel, how about you? Thoughts on Graham Potter and Todd Boehly?
Potter reminds me of our dear friend David Moyes. Similar situation where, you know, seems like the project is, like, way too big. As for Boehly, man, I don't know if it's like brilliant business or just craziness, but let's just see. And I agree with Hakim in the, you know, let's just enjoy their bad times right now, because I absolutely hate Chelsea. It's like one of the worst places to play. Like, when the fixture list comes out every season, like, I look for when we're going to Stamford Bridge, so like, oh, we'll know, like, oh, that's out of the way. Well, yeah, we'll just rock with them and laugh at them for now.
Kalichi, how about you? Yeah. Do you still report to, like,
I might be the only person, right, that doesn't actually still rate the players Chelsea bought. I look at their team, right, and I still feel like they're lacking in certain areas. Like, you spend so much money, right, but you still don't have, like, a world class like DM. Like, how many good midfielders do you actually have in your team? Like, you have all these young prospects up front, but that doesn't, I don't know, I feel like that wouldn't win them, like, any I don't see them winning the Prem even in the next like 2 to 3 years. It will obviously take some time, but yeah, and I feel like we bully, right? Like, he's done what he had to do. Like, everyone here would want their club to move that way. That's just the reality of it. Like, he's done a job at Chelsea, but
like a cartel.
Yes, what I don't like though, he has these players on slave contracts. Because bro, why are you signing somebody for like 6 to 8 years? Like, what do you mean by that? I think that's the only thing I can't really get behind. Like, just tying someone's destiny up. And as for Potter, right, I honestly think that he should be given more time, because you can't sign all these players, right, and then just expect them to gel. Like, whenever I watch Chelsea, you can tell, like, with each game, right, they're still learning about, like, the way, like, they all play together as a team. Like, they're still trying to, like, form, like, chemistry. And you don't get that, like, in half a season. It might even take, like, preseason and a bit, like, into next season to actually see them come together. Because I think it's similar to how Spurs kind of got their bill money and they just went, like, crazy with it. Like, the next season, they weren't particularly great because, like, everyone still needed to gel. And how many players out of all of those players that they bought, right, were actually successful in the end? And that's how I see it for Chelsea as well. But I do think Potter needs to be given more time, because I think he's, like, a good coach. And I feel like what would happen is, I'm sure people have, like, this dream of, okay, give Potter time. He kind of does what Arteta does, but I don't really see that, quite frankly. He's just not on that level. But he shouldn't be sacked, because I think he can get them to, like, a decent standard.
Yeah. We're rounding up now, so just going to have, like, a quick fire segment. Please, no long answers. Like, just try and limited to, if it's one word that the answer needs, one word. If it's four, like, so. So we'll just go in order. Kelechi, who's gonna win Prem?
Arsenal.
Daniel. Well, we'll come back to Daniel. City. City. Hakim.
Arsenal.
What's gonna be top four, Kelechi?
Arsenal, City, United, oof, that last spot. Spurs.
Daniel.
City, Arsenal, United, Liverpool.
Liverpool. Spurs. Hakim, top four.
Arsenal, City, United, Newcastle.
Newcastle. Who's going to win champs? Hakim.
City.
Daniel,
Madrid.
Kelechi,
Manchester City.
Oh, who's going to win the Europa League, Hakim?
Who is even in that competition?
Yeah, seriously, I had to think, you know.
Okay, I mean, just because I don't know who's in the competition, I'll say United.
Daniel, who's winning Europa?
United, inshallah.
And Kelechi, who's winning Europa?
Anybody but United. I don't really care who it is.
Fair enough. Personally, pains me to say, but Arsenal are going to win the league. Man City are going to come second. United will come third. I think Liverpool, yeah, they might just prepare for fourth, I can't lie. Europa, I don't think United are going to win. Like, I hope I'm wrong, but somebody else tells me that we're going to lose in, like, a painful way, man. I don't know. Maybe the ghost of Mu will come back to haunt us or something. But it just feels like, you know, we'll get quite close, but we're not going to win. Champs, I think I'm going to be crazy and say Napoli are going to pull it off. It's unlikely, but I'll just back them to do it. Rounding up, agenda season. Daniel, what agenda have you been waiting to run for? I mean, I think we've been off the air for a year and a half, 2 years, I'm not sure. But yeah, what agenda have you been waiting to run all this time?
I can't lie, I don't have an agenda to run. I had one that was in jeopardy for a while, but like it's back. The one about Brazil number nines. So like, you know, they're still, Richarlison had me shaking in my boots for a little bit at the World Cup, but you know. Or back to default settings.
Fizz. Hakim, how about you? Any agenda that you've had brewing for the past 2 years?
Ah, yes, so many. But if I was to pick one, I'll pick one. Like, the major agenda I've had is that Conte was finished. And my agenda has come to fruition. So I'm happy about that.
So you think no matter where he goes from here, it's only downhill?
He's finished because he has, I think his image has really, really suffered at Spurs. Like, I don't see him going to another top club. And if he goes to a club that doesn't spend money, I don't think he'll flourish. Because, like, I've never seen a manager that talks about money as much as Conte, man. That guy, like, if a club that gave him 200 million plus, is always, anyway.
Let me just leave it at that.
Kelechi, how about you? Any agenda that you've had brewing?
I still don't rate Thomas Tuchel. I genuinely think he's, I don't know if I'm allowed to use that word, but he's, let me just say, he's just not a good coach, and I don't think he should be at Bayern right now. But my second agenda is not really an agenda, but I would like to say on air that I have two discoveries that nobody can take away from me.
My discovery.
Okay, three. Evan Ferguson.
Fez.
Latvia. And Carney Chukwuemeka.
How was Carney Chukwuemeka your discovery?
We go way back, bro. Go and print the receipts.
Oh my days. How is this guy?
I've said this on air, so
it doesn't mean it's true. This guy is
hold.
Fair enough, man. Thank you guys for joining us. You know, it's been a long wait. We hope it was worth it. But yeah, we'll try to be more consistent now that we've made our return. We should be back, I guess, when Prem is back. International break is kind of dead. So signing off from the Bias Football Podcast. Thank you for listening. Please like, subscribe, share, give us a 5-star rating. We'll try and live up to 5 stars. But yeah, thanks for listening and signing off. By the way, Arsenal shits. Bye.